Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Opinion might not be what you think it's going to be.
That is interesting. Okay, get my notes.
I've got my notes. I think it's patisserie week, and I think we were just discussing that. Rather than sort of leave you in suspense, judging by the fact that we've all seen the episode, and if you haven't, spoiler alert, go away and do that.
Yeah.
Let's cut to the chase.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
No. I'm not okay. I think I'm due my period, but I have already cried this morning from
Cry?
Yeah, I cried. I was genuine, and I think I cried because she didn't cry, really. She looked a bit pink around the eyes, but she didn't have a weep. It wasn't like Abby or anything, was it?
No. She was brave and strong.
This is the saddest I've felt. Even Rowan going didn't make me feel like this. I felt really sad today.
Yeah. I found it tough because I really like Tasha. I think she's so sweet. And I feel there is a little part of me as well. You know, we are the Women's Running podcast. We are women. I do feel a little sad at the fact that it's going to be a male-only final.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a bit of diversity, a bit of differentiation in there.
Has that happened before?
I don't know. Remember? Not in my living memory.
Well, I don't think so either.
No. But I feel as though maybe the right person did go, because I totally appreciate that it felt really gutting that she has been really strong and she just had a bad week. And it is unfair considering the fact that other bakers, namely Dan, really is the only person I guess that this applies to, it seems as though he's had a few lucky escapes because he has been strong throughout. And maybe the same grace should have been applied to Tasha, but I think she just did have a bum week, and that's the game, isn't it? I don't know who else could have gone, because Matty did really well.
Yeah.
He, I guess, was the other option because his showstopper wasn't as brilliant. And Dan, I guess, because his technical was a bit crap. But then Dan had a handshake and Matty had done really well, and the other two as well. His tarte pomme looked fab. So
I know. I just had the thing where, like, I watched this on catch up. I didn't watch it live. And I try really hard when I'm watching it on catch up not to get any hints of who's gone. So I try to avoid kind of social media or anything like that. But it's very difficult because I follow Bake Off on Instagram and stuff. And one of the things they put on Instagram very quickly was just the pictures of the showstoppers. And I couldn't help myself. I was just like, oh, because I think the guitar came up first. I was like, oh, so I had a quick flick. And immediately it was like, oh, Tasha will have gone because that showstopper yeah. wasn't even near as good as the other three. So I was like, oh shit, they can't keep her in.
It was a shame. It was yeah. such a shame. And I mean, should we get into it?
Should
I'm
we
glad
get
we've
into
addressed
it?
The
yeah, we have to.
Elephant in the room. I was wondering whether there was yeah. a baking version then of elephant in the room, the macaron in the room,
the milfoy in the castle.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Let's go.
Shall we go back to the very beginning?
Let's go back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. And let's get on the first jingle, and then we can start really talking about why on earth Alison wasn't in the tent. So here we go. Signature.
Oh, yeah. It's time for the signature.
Signature. Signature time.
It's signature time.
Right. So absolutely no Alison. What?
Got it. Yeah. Got it was such a yeah. shame, wasn't it? It was yeah. such a shame. I think I did notice that she did quite a lot of the voiceovers for the
yes.
bakes. So that was a nice touch because it didn't feel like we were completely lacking in Alison. But mm-hmm. obviously, thoughts and prayers for her. I hope she's all right.
I don't get it because this has happened before many times when one or other of Noel or Matt would be poorly, right? It happens mm-hmm. all the time. Every single frigging series, someone drops out because they've got a bit of a sniffle or something. And
yeah.
and it could be any, I mean, when they say that a presenter hasn't turned up because of illness, it does make you immediately grasp for the worst, because how ill must you be not to turn up for filming? And surely, if someone is just a little bit ill or something, the filming, they just say, oh, well, let's do it tomorrow, or let's do it the day after that, or something like that.
I don't
understand.
Know, they probably have a really tight, I imagine that they've got, like, so I think they film it. I can't remember the name of the stately home, but it's like the gardens of this stately home. There's that mm. lovely snowdrop walk you can do there near Swindon.
I have no idea
what it's called. It's lovely. I'm imagining that because that's open to the public and it's normally paid entry and stuff to get in, mm. that they must close it off to film Bake Off for a certain amount of days. They've booked all the staff. I don't know. They've booked catering. They've got all the lighting and sound people, the camera people in.
But the thing is, they've
maybe
also
they
got
literally
editing.
Have...
I yeah. don't get it. But like, speaking as someone, and I know because I lack all sorts of empathy when it comes to illness, because I can't mm. remember in the last 2 decades when I last took a day off ill. And I know
yeah,
that a
Esther
lot of
is
that,
not one to take a day off ill. I no. love taking a day off if I'm ill. Love snuggling up in my duvet.
But you wouldn't do it if you had a presenting gig on Channel 4. And it's like if it's just a bit of a cold, you turn up to your fucking job, don't
but
you?
Maybe they're quite strict about that stuff. Maybe they're quite strict about it because I guess she would, I mean, particularly probably post-COVID, there are probably rules, I suppose, because not only is it, you know, the same as going into an office or whatever where it's people in an enclosed environment, but I suppose there probably is also a bit of a appearances thing there that, will Channel 4 have to field lots and lots of Ofcom complaints if they're like, you had a blatantly COVID-y Alison Hammond walking around sniffing at all the bakers asking what they were up to?
Yeah, but then, what I'm saying is that they have lots of editing time so they can edit out all the sniffs and nose all blowing and the coughing yeah. and all that kind of thing. It's, in fact, editing is something I want to get to later as well. I've got
okay.
bones to pick. Bones
okay.
to pick. So I feel like I've come to this, maybe this is a period thing, but I feel like I've come to this episode cross. And I'm already
I
sad
feel like you
I'm...
have. I feel bad for Alison here that she's unwell and Esther's so angry at her.
I wouldn't take a fucking half day off if I had a cold. And Alison Hammond isn't there for 2 whole days worth of presenting. How ill must she be? She definitely turned up at the final because we've seen the clip already.
We've seen
she's
her.
There. So
I
she's not that,
that
ill.
That you, and I'm going to say this to you now lovingly, you are not a good example of somebody who looks after themselves when they're ill. Because she probably is like, I've got the final to do. I'm sure she would be gutted to miss it because she probably doesn't get paid for it. I have no idea.
Doesn't get paid for what?
For the days that she doesn't turn. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure
I don't know what the sick pay is like on Channel 4, but I do understand what you mean. It does seem as though, oh my God, sorry. Can you hear that?
No, what is it? Is it your doorbell again?
Oh, it's someone's car alarm going, oh my God, that is so loud. Oh. Sorry, I actually can't concentrate. Loud. Can we pause 1 second?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm okay. Can you no, oh, okay. Apologies for the interlude. We deduced that that was the scaffolding people who I've got a vendetta against at the moment. Anyway, driving their huge, great scaffolding lorry down our little road with cars parked on either side and just sort of setting fire alarms off like pinball along the way. Oh, right. Glad that's not happening anymore.
And I actually feel a load less angry because we've had a good 5 minute rant about scaffolding.
We paused and we had a rant for like 10 minutes about scaffolding. Anyway, back to Bake Off.
I feel loads better. Loads better. Okay, poor old Alison. I hope she gets better soon.
Sorry, it's such a horrible person to it.
Such a bitch. Okay, so signature. We're on financiers. You pronounce it. Lovely. Almost central.
We have got some French listeners, so I hope. Actually, as we're about to embark on this, I wanted to ask you, who do you think has got the best mindset going into the semi-final? Because it must be terrifying at this point because you're like, oh, I've made it far enough that I'm one day or 2 days or whatever away from the finals. Who do you think has had the best sort of mindset going into this?
Oh, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I personally think that Josh thinks that he's going to win, and I'm kind of with him on that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think he goes in with quite a lot of confidence. But Dan and Matty are just surprised to be alive every day, aren't they?
They're just like, and I kind of love that. I was going to say exactly that. I think it gives them a great mindset. Like Dan was like, worst case scenario, I'm in the semi-final. Best case scenario, I get to the final. Amazing.
Yes. Yeah. He is just thrilled to be anywhere, isn't he? And Matty is just like, you could see he's almost like checking himself going, what the fuck am I doing here? He's just like so like surprised. So yeah, I'm fond of both of them, more fond than I thought I would ever be. Actually,
I think they did seem to be putting a bit less pressure on themselves, or at least externally it didn't seem as though they weren't letting on that they were putting any pressure on themselves compared to poor old Tasha, who I did feel seemed a bit like, oh, there's literally like three challenges between me and the final. And I'm sure that didn't help in sort of psyching her out a little bit.
Yeah, she was putting a lot of pressure on herself. I've got a question for you. What did you think of Prue's outfit this week? This is important, obviously.
Oh God, it's whenever you have really noticed Prue that she just didn't register in my mind at all. Orange, she was wearing orange, wasn't she?
Orange and pink, which I loved, actually. Pink. I was like,
yeah, I do like the combo of orange and pink.
Mm. Yeah, I think she was
doing... But didn't she have another slightly strange sort of necklace, like a coral reef or something?
Yeah, there was something kind of, I don't know, DNA-y kind of, like she had the white one last week, didn't she? And then this week it was orange or pink.
It was
whatever,
the orange it looked like zip ties stuck to a thing.
Looked like she could kind of do herself a disservice quite. But other than that,
it did. Or like she'd broken free from a hostage situation and had made the best of accessorizing.
It was the dolphin escaping from the beer can ring pool kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, she's, I liked it. And she always has a strong glasses game. So she was doing super well. Right. Financiers. No, you pronounced it better than me. Say it again.
Financier.
Oh, I love that. I think I might have to get Dave to kind of do some special jingle with that. What did you think of these?
So I didn't really get what these were, did you? Like little sponge fingers with stuff on top.
Yeah, sponge, but not too much sponge. Bit of shit on top of them. Yeah,
I wouldn't personally, I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised to have seen them in the window of a patisserie, but also I was a bit surprised that they were what they chose to do, because I think of well, I suppose it's sort of tartlets and funny little bits and stuff, isn't it? But
oh, for patisserie,
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see them included because they did seem like a little, just like a little mini loaf, mini sponge loaf with...
And I, yes, I agree. And I think patisserie, I think pastry rather than sponge. I think
so
that's
do
kind
I.
Of the thing. But also, I mean, from a personal level, like I absolutely loathe cupcakes because I think the ratio of icing to sponge in a cupcake is grotesque. And with a financier, it looked similarly 50-50 in terms of topping and sponge. And I think that's wrong. If I'm going to put it out
there.
Do
you like more?
Yeah.
You like more sponge?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, more sponge. Oh. Tiny. Like I love a fairy cake. I hate cupcakes. There's just
Just like two little peas in a Bert and Ernie pod, aren't we? Because I would be all over. My favorite cakes that you could bought cupcakes. A huge shout out to the Co-op vegan grow. It's like GRO. Have you seen that range? Yeah. It's like their own vegan stuff. They do a chocolate cupcake that is 75% buttercream and it is so good. And then they put these sort of vegan marshmallows on top that are much nicer than, they're not as chewy or springy. Like you can tell that they've not got gelatin in them, but they're just really, really nice. Oh, love those. I love icing.
Do you? Do you know what? I think it was probably about 20 years ago, I used to work in a company where, in fact, I was working with Laura Barnhouse. Who occasionally writes for us for nutrition stuff. She's now a nutritionist. But back then she wasn't, and I wasn't doing this job either. But I remember that we were able to split a cupcake in just that sort of way where I could actually take the top off and give her the top and I could eat the bottom.
That's what we should do perfect. With each other.
We should
do
that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm so craving a little cupcake or something now. I have got to go to the shops. No, I haven't. I've got bloody eggs. I'm going to have scrambled eggs. Stop it. Okay.
Right. Who did well here? Who didn't do well here in the financier?
I mean...
round.
Dan, a sleigh from Dan, though I will actually for once in the first time potentially on this series of Bake Off on this podcast where we famously like to bash Paul Hollywood. I agree with him about matcha. I'm really not into matcha.
No, it tastes like mud. Yeah.
It does taste like mud or sort of like, it tastes like dried mud on clothes.
It's gross.
Not that I'm sucking the dried mud out of my clothes, but...
But if you're thinking of zingy flavours for cakes, you're not going to think, oh, I'm going to put like a slightly muddy flavour on this. It's not
weird.
Great. It's not great. So he used it sparingly.
Clearly, he used it sparingly. Mm-hmm. And Paul actually did even mention the little kick of it at the end. Like maybe it was a well thought through flavour journey. Yeah. And I really, really wanted to eat both of those. I was really interested in them.
He was pulling out flavors out the bag that I would never like. If you'd spoke, you know, listening to kind of interviews with him, like on Bake Off, like 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, you would never think to yourself, "Oh, Dan, yeah, he's going to be doing yuzu and matcha in like week 9."
Yeah,
never. He was doing some really cool flavors.
He was, and it sounded upping his game. Really cool. And I think that was what maybe upped that to patisserie level for me. Because, I think that is the kind of thing that I would spend a stupid like €6 or something in Paris on. Because I would be like, that looks really cool. And it's got stuff that I would never make at home. I know I'm going to have an exciting, interesting little culinary experience popping this in. Maybe that's patisserie.
Maybe that's it.
Exciting culinary experience of a little thing you can just pop in.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a euphemism. So
I know, sorry.
One thing I picked up on this was that when they were going around and judging and stuff, is that I noticed that because Matty is called Matty, when Prue says Matty as opposed to Matt or Matthew or whatever, when she says it, it sounds sort of affectionate. It sounds like she's going, you know,
Matty.
Yeah, I know, it's
Matty,
like,
my boy.
You know, dear boy, it's very sweet.
Yeah,
I don't know why it comes across like that, but it does. Maybe like your nanny saying something, but
Speaking of Matty, my boy, as we should call him. What do you think about him? Because I was starting to wonder at this point, as he is now going to be, he's going to be a finalist.
Yes.
Do you think that he really is a bit silly and doesn't quite know what's going on, or has slightly been fluking it? Do you think he's a number one hustler? He is just...
I'm beginning to
playing
think that
the game
him and Dan actually, there is definitely something about specifically Matty because of that kind of, as we were kind of praising them for this just a few minutes ago, but that kind of shock to have found himself to have been so successful and yet still pulling out the bag like bakes that are especially good. It makes you just sort of think, my God, you're pretending that this is a bit of a, oh, on the day I managed to pull it out of the bag, but he, I think, must be practicing like 20 bazillion times before he comes into the tent because everything has been so good, so good.
It's been amazing. And he always goes, like, I know what I'm talking about, or absolutely no bloody idea. But, and it's like, mate, but you've just done it perfectly. And he was trying not to sort of talk about Mille Foy, like he knew what he was doing, but I was like, you know exactly what you're doing.
I think
that he, but he's playing the game well because, as I've mentioned before, my dream job would be sort of creating and puppeteering the narrative of various reality TV shows. And I think that he has got it bang on because it is an amazing payoff. And I'm not surprised he's made it so far because he's done really well, but also because he has seemed like such an underdog and it does make it a very, very exciting. He's an exciting addition to the final as a result.
He is. Strictly Come Dancing journey, isn't it? It's like that.
You've got to have a wild card in there where you're a bit like, oh, I never would have seen him in the final.
Yeah, and we didn't. We absolutely did. Him and Dan, both of them are just like, what are you doing? Like 8 weeks ago, we were just like, nah, you're out first round, aren't you? You can barely get a Victoria sponge together. But
yeah, now, we did think Financiers Ahoy. We kept being horrible and being like, oh, he's the token sort of like one maybe that the mums can all fancy and he will actually not really be able to make a Victoria sponge. But yeah, here he is. And I'm so sorry, Matty. You are fantastic and we love you on this podcast.
I tell you what, I am going to be absolutely shocked if Matty or Dan win though next week. Anyway, we'll get to that later.
I won't be too shocked if Dan wins because he did have a big, big... I think we are thinking about him in the last couple of weeks because he has been a little bit treading on thin ice. But before, he was doing brilliantly. He has won 3 technicals and he's one star baker twice.
God, you're keeping a... is that in your head or are you actually keeping a tally?
No, they mentioned it in the episode today and I made note of it so that it would seem like I knew what I was talking about.
It's like, fucking hell, that's amazing.
I do remember that he did very well at the beginning, though, because I remember we were like, you're right. Before the episode started, we were like, just looking at his picture, we were like, nah. But he did really well in the first few weeks. It wasn't until bread week that he had his first slip up. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Crikey. Yeah. Okay.
And then that is in my head because I'm a bit weird.
You are a bit weird. But in a nice way. But Dan gets a handshake, but not for the matcha, but for the peach.
Oh, so, did you take it as that? I took it just as your financiers were marvellous. But maybe you're right. Maybe it was specifically for that peach one because it was as Paul was sort of digesting the flavours, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was at that point. I mean, it probably was for both. It has to be for both, doesn't it? Because otherwise you wouldn't get a... But what I loved was him actually saying what we've been saying for weeks, for years, which is, okay, fine, a handshake's brilliant, but what he wanted was a fist pump from Prue.
Oh, I really liked that. That was very sweet. Yeah.
That's lovely.
He's a good egg, Dan, isn't he? He's just very sweet. He's very, very sweet. I really like him. I like all of them that are left. These four are all brilliant and whoever was going to go was going to be sad. But yeah, I think it was very, very sad that Tasha went.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for me on the signature. Should we get on to the tech? Okay,
let's get on to the tech because I'm shortening
everything.
It's not like you.
We haven't got time today. We haven't got time. Let's get technical.
Technical
it's time.
Time
for the technical.
Okay. I haven't got time. Okay, so tart or pom? I would eat all of this. I'd eat all of them always and never eat anything else.
This is where our two worlds collide big time.
Oh, really? You like this too?
I love apples. I love fruit tarts. Oh, I love tarte pomme. And it really reminds me of being a child, and it's not going to be a sort of wholesome, my mum used to bake us a fresh thing. Baking is not really done in my family, but my mum did used to get us a tarte pomme from Morrison's on a Sunday, or like if we're having a roast as like a treat pudding, and it was so good.
Oh, I love
a tarte pomme.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love apple in all forms aside from cider. In this kind of tart thing, especially with frangipan. Oh my God. Oh my God. I was salivating. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Salivating.
And they looked beautiful. They looked really, really beautiful. Matty and Josh both did an excellent job with the decoration, which I imagine is not easy.
Matty's was, I mean, I, that he just, he must have an eye for design, because I think that kind of, it wasn't just about
amazing.
Not understanding concentric, like where Tash kind of cocked up. It wasn't not understanding that. It was just understanding what would look pretty in a circular pattern. And both, you know, you don't have to understand the word concentric to figure out actually if you fan it out from the middle rather than, you know, it just all kind of went wrong, didn't it, for her, where looked like she was putting down great massive wedges of apple.
That was what I was concerned about for her, was hers just looked very, very thick. And obviously they had said in the bit where they've got one made out of polystyrene or whatever that someone made 4 days ago, that it had to be nice and thin, otherwise you would be in danger of them not cooking. And I was worried about Tasha because they didn't have very much time. I can't actually remember whether they said that there was a problem with her apples not being cooked, because obviously the pastry was the big issue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, there were two things here. I've immediately forgotten what the second thing is. First thing was that I was wondering how you would particularly pronounce the nut that is used to flavor frangipan, because I have something to talk about here. How would you pronounce that nut?
Oh, almond.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear Noel?
Is he an almond boy?
Even more different than that. It was almond. He said. And all. Almond. So it's definitely all, as in with two L's. And I can't even do that now without slightly gagging. Almond, he said.
Almond. Oh, yeah. No, I would say an almond, like an arm and a leg. Almond.
Yeah, almond. So I thought that was interesting for someone that's worked on Bake Off for a number of series now. You would have expected that not to sound like the first time he'd ever said the word almond,
but that looked like correct.
It looked like he was just reading it. It was like, mate, sort yourself out, or read this once before.
In our almonds. Not sure what they are. Good luck, guys. Oh, tricky technical.
Really strange. Really strange.
Probably my favorite nuts. I love almonds because they're such a they're such a naturally nice little sweet treat, aren't they?
They are nice. It all depends. Depends on how you're eating them, but I love hazelnuts, so I don't know.
I love hazelnuts too. Hazelnuts are my favorite thing to flavor something. Like if you're gonna have like a little like, oh my God, my favorite treat for this time of year is they are the best. I get so excited when they get released at Christmas. I can't believe I've never mentioned these on the pod before. Cadbury Puds.
Oh, I think the spherical. Yeah.
Because they are basically just chocolate filled with like a sort of, what's the word I'm after? It's like a truffly thing.
Truffle, yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify.
Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like a praline.
Yes. It's just the way you say pud. I can't, it's just the word pud is in essence quite funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it is quite funny. Oh, I love those so much. They are so incredible. Oh my goodness. If they want to send us some, please do. That's actually, I am going to give a super quick shout out while we're talking about little, you know, truffly things to a gorgeous listener at our live podcast, because we haven't had a chance to thank her. And I actually need to share these with you. Our Lindor Chockies.
Yeah.
She gave us a lovely box of Lindor Chocks for us to eat on the way home, which we didn't because we were still buzzing off the walls after our live show. But we can, we'll definitely enjoy some lovely little Lindor Chocks this Christmas together. So
yeah. That'd be nice. I forgot about that. That was a lovely treat. Yeah.
It was really sweet. Back to it.
Back to the tarte au pomme. There was another classic quote from Dan. I just want to go to the pub, he said, which endeared me even further.
Oh,
love.
I love him.
Love him.
Love, relate, adore.
Yeah. So how did they all do? Yeah. Because I didn't really write that many notes on this, but apart from who came first and who came last.
No, the only note that I wrote was, of course, Josh is the kind of bloke that doesn't press if he sees do not press. Did you notice that conversation? Yeah. And Noel was like, oh, if your season says do not press, you're going to press it though. And Josh looked like someone had just told them that they like to shit on the floor.
He was like, what? I think Josh and I are coming from the same
something
plot.
That says do not press.
But at the same time, he was talking about someone pressing into his actual brain matter through his skull. So I don't think you would press that.
I missed that bit.
So he was talking about the fact that he had to have
that quite seriously.
Well, you would. So he was talking about how a rugby injury had left him with a bit of metal mesh. They put some mesh into his forehead, into his forehead, because he'd had some terrible injury. And then someone had written on his head, do not press, after he came out of surgery.
So I'm so sorry. For some reason, I only listened to half of this anecdote.
That's why he wouldn't press, because who would want to press that?
No, thank you. Oh, that actually makes me feel very, very ill.
It's not great, is it?
Oh, God. Well, I was really hungry for my scrambled eggs, and now I'm
sorry.
Actually quite glad. No. That's kept the wolf from the door a bit longer.
So Josh came first. Tasha fucked up.
Josh came first. Tasha fucked up. Dan
chunky
was third
apple,
or something, wasn't
nice.
He? And
raw
Matty
pastry
was second. Yeah,
Matty's was really good. I think the surprise was not Josh. The surprise was Matty. Matty's was gorgeous. Really, really pretty. I think.
Yeah, Matty's looked absolutely lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Showstopper time, I reckon.
Showstopper.
Showstopper. Beautifully done.
Here we go. So you're going to have to do another pronouncing thing.
Well, Italian is not my strong suit, though I did write down help for pronunciation with this. In French, it would be millefeuille. However, in Italian, millefoglie. Millefoglie.
Because in Italian, they pronounce everything, don't they? But it's like, so that makes sense and your pronunciation makes sense. But why, Hol? Why do we have to pronounce it in Italian when it's a French dessert?
I think they said something about how it was an Italian version of the French dessert.
Oh.
Right.
I might just have to look up the difference here. Milfoy v. Millefoglie. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Yeah. Milfoy has different names in different regions, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so the Italian involves a layer of sponge cake as well as cream and puff pastry, whereas I guess it's just cream and puff pastry for the French one.
But there was no, yeah, but there was no sponge. If the Italian has, no, they didn't have, no one had any sponge. None of them did. Oh my God, it was just pastry and cream and pastry and cream.
Went on.
What are they doing? They're just, I mean, they've lost the plot. It was just French, millefeuille. And they just started to try and pronounce it in Italian for no reason whatsoever.
What?
Should we send in a complaint?
Hell. Let's complain to Ofcom. I'm just looking this up and I'm so confused. Yeah, there doesn't. So it was millefeuille they were making.
Yes, it was. Absolutely.
They just wanted, someone just wanted to show off that they knew the Italian for it.
Yeah, which, to be fair, that it's not a huge stretch, is it? Turns out it's exactly the same, but you pronounce the L's.
Yeah, what do you reckon the Italian for pasta is? It's a bit like that, isn't it?
It is a bit. So the showstopper, this was taking place on Tasha's birthday, which I thought
I know. How awful for her, for what's unfair. About to come.
Yeah. Oh, fucking hell.
I forgot about that. Oh, that is so
sad. Really sad.
Oh, bless her. Oh, dear.
Okay, so
she's
so
too
Dan,
precious
though,
for this world.
She's too. I can't.
Someone should have been out there protecting her from any harm.
She was. I'd learned more sign because there was a brilliant little thing on Bake Off Insta. Did you see it with him, her and her sign guy? And they did some, they showed some sign.
I don't follow them on Instagram because I get worried about spoilers.
Mm. Yeah, I'm gonna turn it off ahead of next week. But they were showing how they sign signature, technical and showstopper. And it was really interesting.
Oh, that's cool.
Because, yeah, she was saying that they can't sign signature the literal way, because the literal way of signing signature is kind of miming sort of writing on your hand.
Oh yeah.
And she said that doesn't work for a signature. So signature was it's this movement where you kind of your fingertips are kissing and you move your hand around. So that was signature.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then technical was something where it literally made your hands look technical. So you weave your fingers in together and you did this up and down. Okay. That's technical. And then showstopper, you start from your eyes, so you're sort of there, and then you move your hands down to kind of cup. So it's about how you're visualizing it being stopping the, you know, the traffic, basically. You're sort of doing that.
Yeah, and your show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So it's both of those. So I believe all three of those signs are like bespoke to Bake Off.
To Bake Off.
Do you know what I mean?
So, I love that.
Yeah, it's really nice. And then
cool.
Between the two of them, they then did Ready, Steady, Bake, which is kind of like one hand here, then one hand here. And then Bake is literally that, like mixing in a mixing bowl.
Yeah, miming mixing in a mixing bowl like yeah. Betty Crocker would. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So, which was lovely. And it was another kind of, this is why I was in pieces this morning watching this episode. Couldn't bear it. I was like, I've just learned how to say Bake.
I am sad. I think I have to confess, dear listener, that I watched Bake Off in quite a rush this morning while I was also writing a new story about period pants and also trying to just mainline coffee into my gullet. So I think I maybe didn't take in as much emotionally as I might have done if I was watching it on a Tuesday night with a glass of Savvy B. I definitely would have cried if I watched it last night because I had wine last night too.
Yeah.
I watched it this morning with coffee and work in front of me. So it was I was a bit less in an emotional mindset. However, the more we're talking about it, the more I am realizing how crushing it all was.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crushing. I've just remembered something that I wanted to talk about earlier and I'll put it in now just before we start talking about their bakes. Do you think that Paul is heavily edited, or do you think he talks like that anyway? So like if you hear Paul do a full sentence, he goes, Matty's bake was good.
or something like that. So it just sounds as though it was three sentences and they've edited it all together. Or do you think he talks with full stops between each word anyway?
I think a bit of both. I think he does talk slightly. If you think about it, I think he does kind of talk with full stops. I think he goes, See, the problem you've got here with you, that's not, this isn't going to be very good for Hollywood, but you're making a meal for you here. Yeah, I'm not, I need to say things like, two cans of Coke and a roast chicken. That's my impression of Paul Hollywood. That's not very good.
That was great. That was really good.
Oh, thank you. John, Paul, George and Ringo.
Okay, sorry. I'm really sorry.
Says the fifth Beatle.
Sorry
Brilliant.
So much to any Liverpudlian listeners. But Paul, the thing with Paul is I think he takes a pause after he's taken a bite, and that is actually really, really good. Well done, Josh. That is, your flavours are fantastic. I think that he does kind of do that a bit, but then I'm sure also there is a lot of editing going on so that they're cutting out any waffle, or they're sort of, I don't know, maybe making it sound like everything that Matty does, because they do love him. It's like,
yeah, they do.
Every time Paul's gone, Matty, that was very disappointing. They've gone, Matty, that was excellent. Have a Hollywood handshake. Maybe they've done a bit of that.
Yeah, I think, and maybe Paul is prone to, maybe it's not that he necessarily does full stops, although I think he actually does, but I think maybe he's also prone to having a gap after each of his pronouncements. So he's expecting people to give a little cheer.
What he's about to say is God's gift to the world. So he's like,
he's expecting people to hang off his every, anyway.
It does actually do my nut in a little bit that Paul does that thing where like he's tasted something and then it's like when he's deciding to like give a handshake or something.
Yeah.
He just sort of closes his eyes and like tastes it, and then he looks at someone for a bit and he's like not giving away any emotion. Yeah. He just looks at them. It's like, get over yourself, mate. Get over yourself.
Isn't it?
Say what you have to say. Yeah.
He thinks he's such a Craig Revel Horwood. But you see, the thing is, when Craig Revel Horwood does it, and when Craig's doing an amazing or whatever, it's his turn to talk, right? This is not Paul's turn to talk. Paul and Prue are a double act. And all he's doing is taking the shine away from Prue, who should have been doing fist pumps anyway, as Dan said.
Yeah, I don't really understand why Prue is okay with it. Not to victim blame. But if I were Prue, I would be going to the producers and going, why is everyone behaving like Paul Hollywood is the god of baking, come from on high to save us from our sins?
Exactly.
And
I'm fucking
me,
Prue Leith,
founder of Leith's Cookery, is being treated like the scum of the earth. I would be fuming.
Give me a bigger necklace and let me do a fist pump. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, and stop allowing Paul to suck all the air out of the room while he stares somebody down over a muffin or something. God.
Right, so how did they do? How
if Paul
how
would like
these
to be on the podcast, then obviously we would rescind all of the previous statements. We love you.
Yeah, he's lovely. how did we do here? Because I like the drawings of all of them. Looked amazing. They looked incredible.
Oh yeah. As in the Bake Off artist, our favorite new runner,
our favorite running artist. Yeah, I mean, they all looked as though they were going to be amazing. I think Matt is almost particularly because he was doing so many layers. So he did that kind of wedding cake,
really
didn't
good.
He?
Wasn't that interesting amazing. That actually he just made a fatal error by doing the cutting thing?
Yeah.
Whereas if he'd have sliced round the edge, which looked like it would have been a right faff and probably wouldn't have resulted in a perfect circle in the same way, it probably would have been pretty perfect. Though they didn't love his pastry as much as they loved his flavours, did they?
They didn't. They didn't. No. But
I really enjoyed Dan's. That was, oh my God, that was so impressive. I don't care whether the mirror glaze tasted shit. It looked so good. And I also love this series that so many of the bakers have been like Saku with needing to ask for more annual leave. I love that Dan also had booked tickets to see Sam Fender, presuming he was never going to be in the quarterfinal, semi-final, whatever. I love that. That made me laugh a lot. I think it's very sweet that they're all just
and I
people
I,
like you I also, and I.
They are, and I love the fact that he loves Sam Fender because it was like, I know. So do I.
It was quite.
That's really nice.
I thought that was really wholesome as well.
Yeah, so do I.
He's just so sweet. Love Dan. Love him.
Amazing,
I actually had to look up as a result of this episode whether Sam Fender's name is actually Sam Fender. And it is, in fact, Sam Fender.
Sam Fender.
Which is what we find a lot in the running industry. There are so many people called like Holly Rush.
Sophie Power.
Sophie Power. Yeah. It's like, did he just pick up a guitar? Because he was like, well, it would be rude not to, wouldn't it?
We had Jenny Tuff as well as a cover star. Yeah, I know. Yeah, Sam Fender should have. Yeah, he got born and thought, you know, well, I better go in this direction
I better go in this direction. What else am I going to do?
It just
be locked out of anywhere else.
We listened to Sam Fender quite a bit, but it really, really reminds me of doing the Great North Run because obviously they just played that all the way through.
Oh, yeah.
It is amazing. Anyway.
That's very
I'm
sweet.
Beginning to talk about running. I'm not going to talk about running anymore. How boring.
Okay.
Josh's. Josh's, oh my God.
Josh's was incredibly
professional.
Yeah, Dan's was great fun and it looked like Bake Off. It looked like a not professional baker making something that looked really, really good that you would actually put on Instagram or do for a party or something. Josh's looked like it was in the window of a Parisian pastry
shop. It was astonishing.
Oh my God.
Astonishing.
It looked
incredible.
And I
was worried about it because he was putting in a bunch of gelatin into that. And I was like, oh, really? That's a lot of gelatin.
Yeah.
But he clearly balanced it right. I mean, not for any vegetarians, but he clearly balanced it right in terms of holding up
I'm not going to lie. I probably would have scoffed it.
Yeah.
I would have forsaken my morals and scoffed it. Yeah.
It looked amazing. Tasha's, by contrast, you could see when Josh was kind of cutting the edges off his to make them so that you could see the layers. I mean, she was struggling, wasn't she? And
I
doing
know.
Her pastry the wrong way around and all of that. And then because she didn't cut the edges, you couldn't see the niceness. And hers just looked quite boring, didn't it, compared to the others?
Her decoration wasn't brilliant. I didn't quite realise what had happened with hers until she said, I didn't have time to cut the edges. And then it was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess Millefeuille, sorry to be incredibly annoying with my French degree. Some of you may not know. Please don't tell anyone, actually. I wish I hadn't said that because I can't remember any of it. But it does mean, I think it means like thousands of sheets. And so I guess it
layers,
has to look like a sheet like that, doesn't it? Like a piece of paper, basically, like a purposeful sheet. And it didn't really give that. And it was a shame. It was a real shame. Also, her white chocolate cup was a little on the underwhelming
side. Not
I wouldn't have fucking bothered with that in the end. I would have just stuck the mango stuff on top.
Yeah, maybe done like a pattern or something on the top because it seemed like a lot of faff. She had like 8 balloons on the go there trying to get that chocolate to set and it was just like...
Nightmare.
Though
she did do a bit of a sort of pattern. She had like a template thing and then she dusted icing sugar. Did you clock that?
I didn't really
know. It wasn't very neat. So it was difficult to see, but she had tried to make like sort of... It was like little spheres and little sort of like a posh looking... sort of dusting of icing sugar on top using like a sort of stencil, but I guess because she was doing it in a big rush and that's the sort of thing that you've got to get so neat, it just didn't really work. It just kind of looked like she dusted it with icing sugar and missed a few bits.
And I can't bear it with Tasha because she doesn't dissolve into tears like Abby did or like some of the more kind of weepy sections of the tent. She just goes, she's close, you know, you can see that the tears are going to be there, but she doesn't do it on camera. And I just I can't bear that. So it made me, I dissolved on her part because I could see that she knew she was going. And it was just like, oh, Tasha,
She did deserve to go. It should have been her going this week. So I agree with you.
It should really, but I completely agree. It was like, it was all the more heartbreaking because she was obviously trying. Mm. I would almost rather she burst into tears or she did what lots of them go and they just go, well, I've had a lovely time. But instead you could see that it really mattered to her and she was completely gutted, but she was trying really hard to be strong. And I'm sure we just all relate to that a bit. And that's a bit, it's not very nice to watch someone doing that, is it?
No. Yeah, someone desperately holding it back and trying to be.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So I am going to really miss her next week. Really miss her. I
know.
I think.
I'm really gutted that she's not in the final. We predicted pretty much this final, didn't we? But instead of Matty, Tasha. So she will be missed. But I'm actually quite excited to see Matty. I have already seen on the Bake Off chat within our Pod Squad little group chat that we have, do join Patreon and get involved with that if you can. It's as little as £2 a month and we chat on there all the time. It's great. People have already been saying how gutted they are and how they think that Matty has been given a little bit of lovely treatment, but I am inclined to think that Matty is just, he undersells himself, and so it is easy to write him off, because I think I've been doing the same thing. And actually, I think he must be doing pretty well. And when you look back over his sort of journey, he has kind of been smashing it, really, just quietly. Yeah.
Just quietly. That's the thing. Like, both him and Dan have definitely been middle packers. They were never going to go in the first few weeks because they were capable, but they were never like, it didn't feel like they were astonishingly good. And
I did, but then he sort of had quite a roller coaster, I suppose, where then I thought that to start with, but then he had that crap bread week and he nearly went home and poor old Abby went home instead, and it felt, and then from there on it's been a little bit like, oh, he's back up again, he's doing really well, and then oh god, he's had another. So I suppose you're right. Yeah, I guess he's been middle of the pack, but with a bit more ups and downs, whereas Matty's just been generally quite consistent. But Matty has won Star Baker twice.
Yeah. So, because I would always, I think I'd put my money on Josh right now. Obviously, because that showstopper was just astonishingly good. And I think he's just proving himself week after week to be like, he pays attention to detail. He likes things to be precise. So that's really, really good for final type stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's the look of the thing as well as the taste of the thing. But if Matty or Dan have exceptional weeks next week, then that's it. It sort of depends on kind of what they ask them to do in a way.
I know.
If it's pastry, Josh will do it. I don't know.
Yeah, very true. His macarons looked incredible last week, didn't they? His snowman, as Prue referred to them.
The snowman. Yeah. Oh god, they were intense.
I told Doug
really
about
scientific.
That, and he laughed so much. We've been saying snowman all week.
Snowman. Snowman. Who do you want to win?
Oh, I know. I cannot believe I'm here saying this. Yeah. I want Matty to win.
Yeah.
I do. I think it will make such a nice story if he wins, because, and I love a self-deprecating person. I love someone who goes, oh, I'm just a stupid little twat. I don't know what I'm doing. Ha, 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 ha. And then pulls it out the bag. I think that's so funny and endearing, to be honest. I like him and I think he might surprise us all. But do I think he's going to win? No, I think probably Josh, maybe Dan, because when Dan has a good week, he has a really good week. But when he has a bad week, he has a really bad week. So Josh is probably the most consistent and the most likely, but I would quite like Matty to win. How about you?
I'm the same, but I don't at any point think Dan is going to win this. So that's going to be really interesting to me if he pulls it out of the bag suddenly next week. So no, I think he's definitely third. I agree with you. I would love to see Matty win. I think that would be
it would be so
brilliant.
Sweet. It'd be, but so maybe fun. He is It'd more so of a Miss Congeniality.
maybe. I think that's cool. I think it feels like from this week that Josh should win, but
he's been on the up and up on Drag Race. usually the person who wins the final challenge, like who wins the week before the final. They don't always win automatically, but it does put them in a very good position going into the final. Not just, I think, because it's fresh in the minds of the judges that you've just won a star baker, you've just won a week and you've just done really well. But I think also it gives people the confidence going into the final that they're like, I'm kind of going into this top of the pack kind of thing.
Yeah.
Front runner. And I think it sort of allows you to ride a wave a little bit sometimes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we shall see. What I want to know, and we can maybe discuss this in more detail next week, but what I would like people in the meantime to write in if they know the answer to, and for us to look out for next week is whether. And I don't think Channel 4 would do this like other reality TV shows do. Do you think that they film multiple endings? Because they do that on some reality TV shows, including RuPaul's Drag Race, my favorite reality TV show.
Do they?
They do indeed. They film multiple, all the people who make it into the final, they will film them winning.
No.
And then... Yeah, and then they, because I guess they sort of want to see when the episodes air and how the narrative looks and stuff. They sort of will look back and decide who's going to win based on that. I know.
No.
I don't know whether they would do this for Bake Off. I can't imagine that they would do that.
It feels quite fierce, doesn't it? The only question I was going to ask about it is that they must really look for the nicest day on which to do the... Do they present on, you know, the final award, do they present that on the day that they've actually done the bake or not?
Because they always go in the garden, don't they?
It's always super sunny, isn't it? Yeah. So if they are in that type budget...
And all the mummies and daddies come.
Yeah.
And what?
Oh, and I, do you know what? I can't wait to find out everyone's backstory. That's the bit where you kind of meet everybody.
Oh, yeah, we'll get a bit more backstory, won't we? Yeah. Oh,
so exciting.
Oh, that's going to be fun. No, I'm a bit sad we're not going to see into Tasha's life more because we do love her.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes,
but we'll see her again. Well, she'll be in every episode. We'll see her again because she'll be back for the final next week, which will be nice. Yeah. We'll also get to see Rowan. Nice. We'll get to see Saku.
We'll
get to see Abby. There's so many things. We'll get to see that bloke who left on the first week. I think he was called Amos, who we absolutely loved and we couldn't believe.
Oh, I loved Amos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
Very excited all of those. For all of that. Yeah.
And it's the big reveal, isn't it? Do you remember like when Nadia won and it suddenly you got all this kind of footage of her family and everyone, like Twitter, went wild for her incredibly hot husband. We were like, oh my God.
Oh, her husband's so hot. There's actually an episode of, I think it's the Happy Mum, Happy Baby podcast. Where she talks about her experience with her husband. I'm pretty sure, I might be making this up, but I'm pretty sure that it was like a sort of arranged marriage. I think they kind of knew each other. But it was just like the sweetest love story ever. It was really, really sweet and obsessed with Nadia. I actually saw an advert for her promoting her new range of spices with Schwartz in the breaks of Bake Off today. And I was like, God, she's come so far.
She has come so far. Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
And a hot husband. Ugh. Anyway, well, let's find out what they're all about next week, won't we? God, we've banged on, haven't we? Let's stop banging on. Let's take a break.
Let's go and take a break. We're actually supposed to, for a little bit of insight into our life, we're supposed to have a meeting now, but do you mind if I go make my scrambled eggs?
Nah, go for it.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.